Good afternoon, everyone. This is Associate Pastor Jim Ellsbury from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're bringing you our 345th Living the Good Life radio broadcast. I'm sitting in today for Pastor Marcia, who is in Indiana. Her two great-grandbabies were getting dedicated this morning in church, so she was up in Indiana. And I'll be joined later by Connie Farmer from here in Florida, and hopefully from Betty Thomas in Indiana. I do want to just send out a prayer right now, because I understand from my own family and from Betty that Indiana and also Chicago, where I used to live, they're all experiencing severe storms. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we just want to pray for their safety, of our families, our friends that are up there, and in just that they be protected in the midst of this storm. So, Father, we just give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you to share your word. And, Lord, we just ask that as your word goes out, it would go out with power. It would go out and really make a difference in people's lives. So I just want to... Yeah, Connie, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Yeah, I started watching the weather on the Weather Channel for Indiana and then Chicago. I guess they even had to postpone the Bears game because of the weather.
Yeah, just for a little bit.
Yeah, whoever heard of such a thing? Tornadoes in November. Well, up north at least. Down here, yeah, we get those. But
yeah, we can even get hurricanes after November 30th.
Yeah, well, don't be saying that. I'm so looking forward to the end of hurricane season.
Yeah.
So
I just texted Betty. She said she's good to go. I told her to saddle up.
Good, good. Okay, wonderful. I can't wait. We had our church service this morning, and I do want to invite everybody to come to Beacon of Hope Ministries. We have a couple of services throughout the week. We have a Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, and we also have prayer meeting at 6:15 on Wednesday evening, and Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. We're located at 21933. U.S. Highway 19 North. It's just north of Drew, on kind of a little frontage road for U.S. Highway 19 North. We just want to invite everybody. You know, the Lord is really moving in our services. People are being ministered to. Lives are being changed, and that's really what it's all about. Personally, I'd much rather go to church and hear the word and see people's lives change than pretty much anything else in the world. What do you think, Connie?
I agree.
Well, you know, and I was thinking about this morning, and for me, I'm much more of a teacher, but everybody was telling me this morning, you know what? I was preaching, and which surprised me. I don't normally preach, I teach. So I'm just thankful that the Lord was there. And, you know, we talked about the glory of the Lord this morning and what it meant. And that's kind of where I want to focus this and kind of shoot off of what we talked about this morning. Because I started out in Numbers chapter 9, where the Israelites, they'd set up the tabernacle, and God's glory, that glory cloud, that pillar of fire by night, that cloud by day, settled over the tabernacle. And they stayed put as long as that cloud stayed put. But if it moved, then they moved. If it stayed, then they stayed. And one of the points we talked about was, you know, sometimes it's hard to stay put when God says to stay put.
Waiting's never fun.
No, it's not. It's not. And I think sometimes we get impatient. I was thinking that, you know, Abraham had to wait 25 years for a son after God promised him that. Jacob had to wait 20 years at least to come back to the promised land. Joseph was in Egypt for about 20 some years before his, before he was set free from prison and elevated to that position of power. Sometimes, you know, God, we know God's with us, but sometimes it's hard to see that because we want to kind of strain forward. We want to push. We want things to be done now.
Well, especially nowadays with the microwave society that gets everything done instantaneously, we don't like to wait for spoiled.
Right, exactly. We want everything now. It's become too easy, I think, to have everything now. And
when you have everything now, then you don't. Then what? Then what? You have nothing to look forward to.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think if we get everything now, we don't get a chance to grow into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a big part of the Christian life is growing every day, it's kind of growing. And, you know, I just celebrated 40 years being saved, and I'm not fully grown yet. I'm looking forward to the rest of this process. You know, there's a lot of growth. There's a lot of experiences I know God has for me. I just have to trust him to bring them about in his timing, not in mine.
Right.
And
that's the hardest thing. If you think about it, it's the hardest thing to wait on somebody to do something for you. You know, it's their time frame when they get around to it. And, I mean, obviously, when God has something for us, it's going to be something spectacular and worth the wait.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's, and, you know, I think of, I mentioned, you know, our new building. You know, sometimes God moves slower than we'd like. And sometimes he moves really fast. And in the scriptures, you know, it says sometimes that glory cloud rested for one night. They got enough time to open up their tents, sleep, get up in the morning. They had to fold everything up and get on the move again. And that's kind of how it was with the new building. All of a sudden, boom, there it was, and we moved in. You know, that was pretty quick.
Well, and if you think about it, there's a lot in the scripture talks about them being upset because they had to pack up the next day because they had been used to having this kind of, even though they didn't want to be leisurely, they enjoyed it.
Right, right.
You get used to it, and then, so, in many ways, we're pretty ungrateful.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, look at the Israelites in the wilderness. How ungrateful were they? You know, after a while, they got sick of the manna. Then God gave them quail, and they ate so much they got literally sick of it. They threw it up. They grumbled about water. They grumbled about wanting to return to Egypt. And, yeah, and that's a good point, especially as we approach Thanksgiving. You know, being grateful. And, I mean, I can't imagine. You know, I guess I'm one of those people that kind of learns by seeing, and I like to see stuff in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of what it must have been like to actually be in the camp of the Israelites and see that cloud. I mean, I have kind of a picture from, you know, the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. But to have really been there and really seen God's presence in the glory cloud. You know,
cool.
I go ahead.
No, I just said that'd be too cool.
Oh, very. And yet there's a part of me that thinks I would be so odd. Of course I would do everything God said. And yet there's a part of me that knows that's probably not true. You know, there's a lot of grumbly Israelites still in me. You know, there are times I know when I'd grumble about being in the desert and all that, but even so, it's, you know, later on in Deuteronomy and in some of the prophets, you know, it's mentioned that, you know what, for 40 years, you never had to get a new pair of shoes. Those shoes never wore out for 40 years. Imagine keeping a pair of shoes that long.
No.
But then, you know, the cloud was over them by day, over those like 2 million people. Over them by day, so they didn't overheat in the sun, in the cold, that the fire from the glory cloud would have kept them warm. And yet, you know, sometimes the blessings that are right in front of you, we sometimes don't see. So, amen. Well, I want to just go to our first song, Heart of Worship by Michael W. Smith. Great song.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and the simply come, longing just to breathe something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Love that song. I understand Betty has also joined us from sunny Indiana.
Hey, good afternoon, Pastor Jim. Good afternoon, Connie.
Good afternoon. So how is
it? It's not so sunny up here. In fact, we're probably a couple of counties away from a tornado warning that they just issued. So we're just sitting here anticipating the dissipation of these storms as they get closer to us.
Amen. So. Amen.
It's going to dissolve.
That's right.
Yes, it is, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. We're believing that with you.
Thank you.
So we've been talking about the glory and following the glory cloud, and I kind of wanted to put that for the radio show, kind of in the context of worship and the church in general, and how sometimes the church, not our individual churches, but the church as a whole, doesn't follow the glory cloud real well sometimes, because God is a God of movement. He's not a God of stagnation. You know, he's always doing something, you know, just, you know, he's always up to something, which is good. And, you know, I do believe, honestly, he's in the process of restoring the church as a whole, you know, the whole body of believers.
Amen.
In preparation for, you know, these last days. And, you know, I was thinking about the concept of the glory cloud picking up and moving. And what happens so often with churches is, you know, God does a movement and then we get stuck. Okay. We think we've found it all. You know, God did this. This must be the final, you know, this must be the final thing. And that actually goes back, I was reading, as far as Martin Luther, because, you know, he got revelation of Romans 1:17 that the just shall live by faith, and he stopped there. Okay? That's kind of where that branch of the church got stuck. And then, you know, another branch found out about water baptism. You know, the Baptists, then the Anabaptists. But that's where they got stuck. And then John Wesley and Charles Wesley and some of the great preachers of the great revival came in and started preaching holiness and sanctification, and that's where they got stuck. And then around the turn of the last century, the Holy Spirit moved and the Pentecostal churches were born, and that's where they got stuck. It's like, you know, sometimes we grasp on to our little piece of the truth and hold on to it and don't want to let go of it. And even though God's maybe moved on or wants to do a new thing, we're still holding on to the old thing like it's the be-all and end-all of our Christian walk.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct, Pastor Jim, because people don't like that word called chained. Is they feel comfortable where they are. They think if, you know, with change, there comes more responsibility, there comes more accountability to the body of Christ when change comes through the, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know that a lot of people feel comfortable going in, listening to, you know, two or three hymns, listening to the message, and then leaving church, but it doesn't give the Holy Spirit the free reign that he wants to move in our congregations and through the body of Christ, you know, in these final days. And I think that we have to be in tune. Our pastors and leaders of the church, along with the congregations, have to be so in tune with what that song says, that it's all about Jesus. And he is the one that wants, the Holy Spirit wants to move in our congregations. Some do, some don't. But I think in the final days, as you were saying, there's going to be a mighty move of God, and we need to be ready.
Right, and that means being new wineskins, not old ones.
Right, and we have to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit that I learned about a week or so ago that it's called the sacrifice of praise. That we have to learn to let go of the things of the past so that it gives us the ability to want to change. Do you think?
Oh, I agree. How about you, Connie?
I love it when
you laugh like that, because I know something good's coming up.
I don't know. I just have this whole mindset that, you know, when I come to church, I just can't wait to see what's going to happen. So, I mean, I don't think I'm stuck in a rut, maybe in some ways as far as how things are done in the beginning. But when everything starts flowing, I just, like, sit back and say, come on, and watch it.
And that's how church should be. I mean, I know what Betty said. I grew up in a denominational church. And, in fact, Nathan and I, we're talking about that this morning before church, because he was talking about his church services sometimes would last 4, 5, 6 hours. And I said, oh, I grew up in such and such a denomination, and including Sunday school, we were in and out in an hour and 45 minutes. So, you know, and that included Sunday school. So, you know, it's, but again, you know, we need to be flexible. We need to be fluid. And I think sometimes we do build up our own sort of oral traditions around worship and around how we think it should go. And I mean, I know, because I usually, Pastor and I come up with Nathan with the songs for every Sunday. And I know we got a pattern going. And heaven forbid if God should ever step in and say, excuse me, I think we need to do a couple of slow songs first. It's like, oh, no, God, you know.
So that's not going to happen. If he does, that's what we'll do. You know that.
Oh, exactly. I know. But it's our own human nature. At least for me, it's like, oh, but God, we don't do it that way, Lord. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, I think that both you and Pastor Marcia are so in tune with the Holy Spirit that it's inevitable that if something's going to change, it's going to be changed in your congregation. Because I've only been in your congregation once since getting back in contact with Pastor Marcia, that the Holy Spirit moves in your services. And, I mean, he just doesn't come in and do something small. He just comes in like a mighty rushing wind. And like what you were talking about earlier is that it comes in, he does what he needs to do, people are healed, people are set free, people are given, you know, a better prayer language, whatever they need, he's given it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And all we have to do, the key word is ask. And, oh, I wish I could be in your services because they are so powerful. I mean, things are moving down in your area, and that is going to spread throughout the rest of the country and the rest of the world here in just a matter of a few maybe months or years, but he's going to take control, and that's what we want him to do. And thank the Lord that you guys listen to him.
Well, thank
praise God.
Praise
Amen.
God. Amen. Yeah, it's easy, you know. And I think change, like you said, is scary because nobody, you know, we get comfortable with the way things are and the way God moves. And then when God starts to break out of that, then we either have to stretch or we break. And I know the church I pastored in Chicago, there was one time when I started with a sermon. I mean, God just said, you're going to teach first. And people just like, what? We sing first. No, not always. And I think sometimes we do need to, especially now, we've got to be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit, because people need to hear the truth desperately. And people, whether they know it or not, are hungry for the truth. They may look for it in all different ways, but deep down, they're looking for the truth. And as we move in the Spirit, that enables us to give them the truth and give it to them in a way that, you know, empowered by the Spirit, that they're going to hear it. It's going to make a difference in their lives.
Well, and I think that people like myself who are in like a rural area, we're starving. And that's where you as a pastor are so, you've got your Holy Spirit scanner going and you know what he wants to do, because you may go in and have a word, you know, preach the word, but the Holy Spirit has a totally different agenda that he wants to do, but you both listen. And that's what is so keen about the ministry down there, is that, you know, you have a spirit of no more spirits of timidity are amongst you or Pastor Marcia, is that you guys are going to do exactly what he wants. Now, there may be a couple of times you may be maybe just a little off key, but other than that, you guys are so in tune to the Holy Spirit, and that's what we want the rest of the congregations to experience, is what your congregation is experiencing now.
Well, and I agree, and I just believe that, like you said, it is going to spread from here because we're in such a unique position. We kind of straddle a bunch of different worlds down here. And God has, you know, he's giving us access to so many different communities down here that the word of God, but like it says in the book of Acts, the word of God spread and was magnified.
Mm-hmm.
So, Connie, what do you think?
Well, I was just thinking, I was remembering one of the first services we had in that building, and almost everybody fell out in the spirit, and then Pastor was just kind of sitting around on the steps, and she said, by the way, she gave a prophecy.
A long prophecy.
By the way, that's the service sermon for today. We're done.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was like, what, our first, second service in the new building.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit just fell, and people fell, and Pastor fell. She just kind of leaned back on the steps and gave that long, long prophecy, but it ended up being the sermon. And, you know, that was unusual. I had never seen that happen before. I mean, I've been in places, you know, prophecies go on and on and on, but not where they actually become the sermon. And, but again, if some people would be offended by that, they'd want a quote real sermon, or just be, you know, weird. And I mean, I knew those, you know, some people come into our fellowship and they look at us and they think we're kind of weird. But as long as,
yeah, that's when we're being mild.
Right. And I do believe as long as any church can back up what they're doing or what's going on with the scripture, we got nothing to worry about. You know, someone comes and asks and said, because I know we have some people that are a little iffy about when people fall out under the power. And, you know, I looked up all those scriptures because I just wanted to have them in my head in case some, you know, for whenever somebody asks. And I mentioned it this morning, Ezekiel, because I quoted some scriptures from Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. He fell under the power. The Apostle John fell under the power. The soldiers that came, even that, you know, the unsaved soldiers that came to arrest Jesus fell under the power. You know, that's all through the Bible. People meet, and it, you know, you meet God, and sometimes it's so overwhelming, you have no choice but to just fall.
Right.
Connie's...
You guys are the beginning of what other churches are going to see. And it's like when the Holy Spirit comes into a service, there are times that you can't stand because of the awesome power that, I mean, this is not Christ himself coming. This is what he sent his Holy Spirit to the disciples. They couldn't stand when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And if it happened to them, he wants it to happen to us, and we should not be afraid. We should welcome it with open arms and say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And it shows people that those, you know, those doubters, those ones that are afraid, it shows them that God is alive, that his Spirit wants to move in congregations if they'll let him.
Right.
You guys let him, and that is what is so awesome. Awesome.
And it's almost like, well, what choice do we have? I mean, we've tasted, you know, in Hebrews it talks about tasting of the powers of the world to come, and we have, and it's like, man, I want more of that. I want to see that happen, and I was thinking, you know, it happened even in the Old Testament when Solomon built the temple. And the singer, they put the last piece of furniture in there. The singer started praising God. And the glory of God fell, I mean, just filled that temple. And it says literally that the priests could not stand up to minister. They couldn't even perform their duties because they were laying flat on the ground. And that's when God moves, you know, that's when God comes on the scene. You can expect things like that, people falling out, people getting healed. I mean, I'm praying for the day when, first of all, they have to call the fire trucks because they think the building's on fire, you know, because of the glory of God. And, but just when people walk in, it's like, they feel it. They know they get healed when they walk in because the presence of God is so strong. And, you know, I was thinking, praying earlier, and I remembered Isaiah chapter 60. You know, great darkness is going to cover the earth, but the glory of the Lord will rise upon you. All nations will come to your light. The kings will come to the rising of your glory. You know, we talk about how bad things are getting, and yes, there's no doubt things are getting bad. Things are getting dark. But, for you know, John chapter 1, verse 5, the light, Jesus, shines in that darkness, and the darkness cannot overpower it. It's that light lives within us. And right. as we move, as we follow the glory cloud, and as we just submit ourselves more and more to God, His glory, which resides within us, will come out. I mean, it will shine out of us. We'll glow like Moses. And people will be attracted to that. They will see God living in us. I mean, you know, it'll be even better than the book of Acts. I mean, I'm reading about people would wait for Peter's shadow to fall on them so they'd get healed. Can you imagine walking down the street and every person that your shadow falls on gets healed? You know, that's pretty incredible. I mean, Connie will be running around that hospital everywhere with a big old flashlight next to her.
We'll be out of business.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Well, I think that in the next few years, months, weeks, days, that we may see that, Pastor Jim, is that if people will become more like Christ, give their lives and heal from the inside out and let the Lord do a mighty work in them, we could see that again. And I believe that with all my heart, we will see that again.
Oh, I do too. I believe it's in the Bible. I mean, it's scriptural,
it
you know, we're going to see the fullness of the latter rain, and the harvest that will be produced by that will be beyond what we can imagine. And I agree. And it's the hard part to all of this is it takes commitment on our part and continual walking with God and being sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Because, yeah, I mean, we're human and sometimes we miss it, and that's okay. Praise the Lord, God is big enough to handle when we mess up things like that, you know. Because I think some people, I know me, sometimes I'm afraid to step out in faith about the, you know, something or other. Or you know, what if I miss it? Or sometimes, you know, I do something, but, you know, step out in faith, but maybe I do miss it a little bit. You know, I step out too early or too late or something. You know, God's big enough to handle that sort of thing. And, you know, it's important that we realize that and just keep, you know, just keep working at being more and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, being more and more sensitive to His leading, because there are marvelous things He wants to do for in each one of us and through each one of us.
Amen.
You know, I'm looking forward to the day, you know, maybe that God, should He decide to do this, picks me up and moves me, say, up to Tarpon Springs in one fell swoop, just like He did Philip the Evangelist. You know, I'd kind of like that. You know, take one step out the door and end up in Tarpon Springs preaching the gospel. That'd be kind of fun.
It'd catch you off guard, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, that's why you got to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Well, I think that we all have to be open to what the Lord wants for us, how He wants to move in our lives. And He's not going to overtake us to the point where we become insensitive to what He wants to do. And it's just like praying for a sister down in Florida that I've prayed for many, many months. And it seems like that, okay, God, are You moving? You know, when you guys were talking earlier, this before at the beginning of the show, is that he moves in his timing because it's the best timing. It's better than our time. And he wants to move in a way so that we don't get too far ahead of ourselves, that we don't comprehend what's going on. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be ready, but he's not going to give us more than we can handle. And I've said this before, that our trials become, and tribulations become testimonies, and that's what moves us out of that comfort zone and ready for change, ready for a movement of the Holy Spirit, is that we want, like you said, we want more. You know, it's just like you can't wait till Sunday to get to church. You're beating the doors down. You're there Monday, Wednesday morning, and if you have evening services, you're ready Wednesday, Sunday night. That's how hungry that we need to be for the longing for the Holy Spirit to move in our lives.
Exactly. We need, I pray right now that God just give all of us and all of our listening audience a hunger for his presence, a hunger for his word, a hunger for his Spirit, that we would truly become an army, his army. And, I talked about that this morning in church, Ezekiel chapter 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. There's a whole, Ezekiel saw that valley, which represented first foremost Israel, but also represents the church. And, God said, can these bones live? Ezekiel wisely said, And he told Ezekiel to prophesy to those bones. And what happened is those old dead bones came together, and God put he put cartilage and ligaments and tendons on them, and put muscle on them, put skin over it, so that, they became then, not just bones, but full bodies. But then God said, wait, one last thing. Prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the spirit. And Ezekiel did, and the spirit filled those bodies. And it says they stood up and became an exceedingly great army. And I believe we're getting there, It's, but again, it's a process. The bone has to come together, bone to bone. And then God kind of joins them together with the ligaments and the tendons and all that, puts muscle on it, covers it with, covers the body with skin. And then we get, that greater anointing, the breath of God gets breathed in. And we stand to our feet an exceedingly great army. And that's that restoration process I mentioned earlier. It happens individually, but it's happening church-wide. And it has to, because, we are going to be an army of overcomers. I know, I sound like a real fanatic. And I am, so no apologies. But
we need fanatics.
Yeah, that's true.
Got to jump start in.
Yeah,
I've got to see those willing to step out and make the first move.
Right.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, it's
people sit back and they think that Connie will do it, or let Pastor Jim do it. He needs some extra work. Connie needs some extra work. And it's like,
Betty needs some extra work.
Yeah. And you have to realize that, everybody, there has to be a left hand and a right hand in the body. There has to be, there's the head. You've got to have feet that will move and that will move when the Lord asks you to move. And if you're sitting back thinking that Connie will do it, or Nan will do it, or Pastor Jim or Pastor Marshall will do it, you might want to rethink your thinking there, because it takes all of us to be the body of Christ. It doesn't take one or two people. When he wants all of us, he wants all of us. He doesn't want one or two. He wants all of us. And it's so amazing to watch people especially when you give a sermon and they sit there and they're, you can tell them that they're under conviction. I've been there. I was there last week. I was under so much Holy Spirit conviction, I couldn't stand on my feet because God's Holy Spirit spoke directly to me. He hasn't done this in several months, is that I want you to be you. I want you to stand and be you. I don't want you to be Connie. I don't want you to be Pastor Marcia or Megan. I want you to be you because you are the one that I made. You are the one that will take my word into the street. You are the one that will stand when no one else will stand.
Amen.
And that's where Connie will stand when the Lord tells her to stand. She will kneel when the Lord tells her to kneel because she is that sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And it's just like with you, Pastor Jim and Pastor Marcia, if the Lord tells you to do something and you don't do it, what it's, happens?
We
miss out on a blessing.
Yeah, and I get pretty miserable too.
Yeah.
He doesn't let me get, I used to long time ago, you know, as baby Christians, we got to let us get away with stuff like that. But as we mature in him, we, you know, he doesn't, you know, he expects us to grow up. And part of that then is being obedient. Like every child has to learn obedience. So do we as believers in Jesus. We have to learn to obey the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, you know, where God at first may let us get away with that, later on, he's really going to convict us when we don't. You know, we're going to feel under conviction if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing or where we're supposed to be. And that's okay, because there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. God's conviction moves us in a positive direction back to him. You know, condemnation does nothing more than drive a wedge between us and God and try and keep us away from God. So, and this is the perfect time for this next song, More Love, More Power. I don't know, Connie, you pick them so well, by Michael W. Smith.
I don't pick them.
More love,
wow. I love that song. And that's what it's all about, seriously, is more love, more power, more of you, more of Jesus in our lives. That's the highest calling we can have, is to have more of Jesus in our lives. I mean, John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. And that's what it's all about, is letting him increase in our lives.
You know, it's a tough road for some people, Pastor, is that they've never experienced the fullness of Christ. And yes, we all have, you know, hills and bumps and valleys and things that we go through. But that's when we need to ask for more of Christ. We need to praise him in the storms. We need to get down on our knees and ask him to help us no matter what we're going through. And some people think that, oh, he's not interested in helping me with that. Why don't you ask him? Why don't you talk to him? And just like that song says, there will be more power, more love in your life than you can ever imagine. Because he's such a loving and sweet God who just wraps his arms around us and holds us in those times of need. And even in our times of triumph, you know, he's right there. He's in the front of us. He's in the back of us. He's beside us. He's with us. I mean, he's enveloped us with so much grace and so much mercy that we have such a loving and caring God that he cares about the little things, and he cares about the big things, too. So give him praise, give him glory, and feel more love and more power than you've ever imagined.
Amen. Amen. Connie, comment on that?
That was good, Betty.
Thank you, Connie. That wasn't me. I don't talk like that. You know that. I'm from Indiana.
That was good.
Yeah, it's just so incredibly true that in order to get that more love, more power, more of him in our life, part of that's just dying to ourselves, and that's a daily thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not an easy thing. There are times when I would just, you know, I get frustrated. I just soon dump the whole thing, but I know better. I know the final outcome of having Jesus in my life, and I know how far I've come with him in my life. And, you know, but yeah, sometimes you just, oh Lord, do I really have to live for you today? And yet, that may be the day that God puts somebody who desperately needs salvation or deliverance or healing in your path. And that may be the day God's going to use you to really minister his life to somebody else. And
well, I think that salvation is something that we all can talk about, because we know where we've been. We don't want to go back there. So what better testimony is that if God does put someone in your past, just tell them your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a testimony, and they go, oh, no, I don't. Yes, you do. You have to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit that you have this discernment of, okay, the Lord just sent so-and-so to me, and we just talked a little bit. But if they see something different in you, that can be a testimony.
Right, right.
Because you've been there. You've done that. And what better way to help people is of where you came from and where you are now, who helped you through that and who is continuing to help you through this, than a witness, a word of encouragement, a word of faith to someone who's hurting. And, you know, that's where I want to be more like Christ, Pastor Jim and Connie, is that I want to be so in tune. I mean, I make so many missteps anymore that I can't count them as darns, but I count them as stepping stones to a better life.
Right.
It makes me more aware of what's going on in the spiritual realm, and it makes me want to minister more than I ever have before. And all of us have a purpose, whether we believe it or not. We all have a purpose.
Well, and that's
kingdom.
And that's true. And you mentioned that before, that about all being parts of the body. And I think some people like to come in and they still like spectator church, where they come in and, you know, pastor, the praise team, they do everything. You know, praise team leads the music, pastor gets up and preaches. And yet that's not all that church is about, because, you know, God wants all of our participation in church. And, you know, standing up in front and watching people, I love to see people sing. I mean, like, they're really singing with us in church. It's not just, you know, me and Pastor and Nathan up there entertaining. But I admit, sometimes it feels that way. But it's great to look out and see people getting into the worship. I mean, singing and getting into the flow, the move that God is doing that day. But it's more than that. It's that each of us has a place in the local body and in the church as a whole, but we each have a place, a part. And you had mentioned it before, Betty, you know, you were just kind of echoing what Paul said. If we were all hands, where would the feet be?
Mm-hmm.
If we were all eyes, where would the ears be? You know, God needs ears. He needs feet. He needs, you know, hands, big toes, little fingers. All of us, no matter how small we think our role is in the body, each one of those things is important, because God has ordained each one of us a particular place in the body. And if we're not there, if we're not allowing God to use us in that place, then it's not only, you know, a kind of, it ends up being frustrating to us, but also to the body, because it's almost like there's a hole. There's maybe a joint missing, or, you know, a part of a hand is missing, you know, and think about how that affects the body as a whole. And, you know, some people just, they don't want to get that involved with being actively a part of the body of Christ. And yet that's what God has called us to do, because we're being fitted into that spiritual temple. Each of us is like a stone, and we need to be fitted in with each other. And, you know, I just look at God's wisdom, and I think, I hope you know what you're doing sometimes, God, because you think, you know, especially when, you know, we wonder where we fit in the body, or we think, well, maybe I ought to do this. And again, it's following the leading of God, because I didn't, you know, y'all in the radio audience has heard me say this. After I stopped pastoring a church, I had no intention of ever doing that again. No, I was done with it. And, you know, I tried, you know, God told me, yeah, you're going to do this. And so I tried to start up another church in Chicago. Obviously I wasn't listening, for years, and didn't, you know, ran ads, free ads in the newspapers. I had like 2 phone calls in the course of 3 years. And then God moved us down here, and boom, you know, God set me in a body, set me, you know, and, you know, set me in a place where he wanted me to be. And, you know, there's been so much good happen since, you know, since we moved down here. I mean, there's been some trials too, but there's been so much good happen. And it's like coming down here was a big change, and I didn't want to follow the glory cloud down to Florida. I would have just soon stayed up in Chicago. But once I did, then it's like everything opened up. And, you know, I found Beacon of Hope. And it was, I mean, for me, it was home. I'd come home. And never once have I doubted after that my, you know, our decision to move down here, because I found, I know what God has, I know what God wanted me down here for.
Well, and praise God you listened.
Yeah, well, praise God I finally listened, so.
Well, I think that we all have that, we've all had that road where our GPS has kind of been out of service.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have. I can't speak for Con, but I know I have. I've gotten off the beaten track and thought that, you know, the county road was a little bit better than the highway. And then you get out and it's like, oops, made a wrong turn, you know, kind of make a back step. But, you know, that's where God restores us, is coming back. And I think that's what you were talking about in your message today, is the restoration of the church.
Right.
Is that, you know, God wants to restore us, even though we've been on a rural road and we've kind of made some detours, we made some wrong turns. He wants to restore us back to the main highway to heaven. Mm-hmm. And that's where he wants us. And praise God that, you know, we have learned from our trials and tribulations, mistakes. And I thank God that, you know, he's given me an opportunity, you know, to be on the radio, calling me back into the children's ministry.
Oh, cool.
I dug my feet in deep. I mean, I dug them in so deep. he won't be able to find me if I dig down in here. And wrong. It's tough to, I mean, when you have your discernment in, on, it's like you just keep hearing, I'm right here. Come on back. Come on, you know, dig, you know, get your feet out of the mud. Come back. And that's where the sacrifice of praise, which is letting go and letting God move in your life.
Amen. Yeah, that's so true. And it's one of those lessons sometimes we have to learn and relearn, because, you know, as God moves more in our lives, it's like he's going to, Pastor Marcia calls it like the onion effect. You know, he peels down through some of the layers.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts, you know, sometimes it's a little painful to have some of those layers exposed, you know, those layers of rebellion, things that we didn't even know we were holding on to that are keeping us from serving God. But as he reveals those to us, and as we release those to him, then he can move just that much more in our lives and use us that much more. And that is, you know, that's the cry of my heart. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, and I'm sure we all do. We struggle with our flesh every day. You know, do we want to follow God? Do you want to follow the flesh? And, you know, we know what the right answer is, obviously, but we just need to trust God that, you know, his plan still remains the best. So I want to take a moment here for station identification. We'll be right back. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
I always get such a kick out of that. Listen, you know, that I think that's so cool. But I do want to take a couple moments here and just remind our listeners that you are tuned in to Living the Good Life, of radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We meet at 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North in Clearwater, Florida. We have services at 10:30 on Sunday morning. Please come join us. You just never know what God's going to do. It's a miraculous thing. And then also we have a Bible study. Well, we have prayer meeting at 6:15 on Wednesday nights, and we begin an interactive Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. Bring a Bible, a notebook, be prepared to share. We also have a prayer ministry, which is something that, well, all three of us, Betty, Connie, and myself, are deeply involved in. we would ask if you have any prayer requests to please send them to prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at bohmglobal.com. What happens is the prayer requests are picked up either by myself or by Carol up in Georgia. We send out the prayer requests to the entire prayer team. We always include a prayer so that we're all praying the same thing, kind of praying in unity, because we believe strongly that, like Jesus said, if any two or more of you agree on as touching any one thing, it will be done for them. So we send out a sample prayer, and we get praise reports back, which is just wonderful. And I've started, I've been saving those as they come in. I have a little special folder for praise reports, because God does move, and we believe in the power of prayer. We believe that when we pray in Jesus' name, believing for whatever the need is, we've seen healings, we've seen deliverances, we've just seen miraculous things happen. And so I would encourage you, if you have any prayer requests, please send them in. And if you'd like to be a member of the prayer team, you can also send, just let us know your email address and that you want to be a part of the prayer ministry. Again, those all go to prayers at bohmglobal.com. Want to move into our next song, and this certainly no pun intended, Betty, but it is called Let It Rain by Jesus Culture.
Heartbeat of me that is here. I feel
Oh, wow. Another great, great song. And that, again, that is the cry of our hearts. Let it rain. You know, let it rain. Let the wind of your spirit blow through us. That's what we want so desperately, Lord, that would happen to us, that we would be truly your vessels to go out and just minister to the world, that we would be your instruments to show this lost and dying world your love, your power, the things that you want to do through us, Lord. We open ourselves up and say, yes, Lord, we're here. We're here. Use us. Use us however you want so that we can reach this world for Jesus. Ooh, boy, that was good. That was.
Yes, it was. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. You know, one of the things I was just brought as that song was playing, and you'll have to excuse me, I told Connie that sometimes when there's music really ministers to me at certain times in my life. And those two songs have just really, I mean, they actually brought me to my knees, because there's some things that I'm dealing with about the move, some personal things in my life that I don't want to have control over anymore, because I am not the controller of my life. I want the Holy Spirit to be the controller of my life, and I want more power. And you know, when I surrender certain things, Pastor and Connie, I do feel much better, because I know that in His timing, that the floodgates will open, and the refreshing and the newness that comes from that rain that flows over us is so mind-boggling. It's so powerful that you really can't, I can't put it into words how I feel, but we have a property that we need to sell, and it's just not going the way that I thought it would go. And I can't move any farther until I get that property sold. And the thing that the Lord showed me through those songs that the Holy Spirit, Connie, have played, is that He is in control, Pastor Jim and Connie. He is in control of our lives, of every facet and asset of our lives. He is in control of, if we give Him full reign and full control. And it's amazing to me, once that you do let go and you give Him that control and quit trying to take it back on myself, is that it moves a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Things move a lot smoother, and it's it opens my eyes to what God can do in my life.
Betty, a couple weeks ago, Pastor taught on Hannah in 1 Samuel 1. And Hannah had been childless. And her husband had another wife who had all these kids, and she used to mock her because, you know, she was better than her because, and all that. And there's a part of the prayer where she cries out to the God of the angel armies. And in the Message Bible, this is, I have to tell you, I was in the same situation, you know, with my house not selling. And this is the promise that I clung to for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And the things that have happened, you know, and the inspections and this and that, and stuff with selling a house, actually getting somebody to buy it. And in the Message, it says, "Oh God of angel armies, if you'll take a good hard look at my pain
if you'll quit neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, which for her was the child, I'll give him completely, unreservedly to you. I'll set him apart for a life fully disciplined. And it kind of sounds like a little bit of a barter, but I don't see that it really is, because I think that, you know, pastors always taught us that it's okay to say, God, you said you would do this. You said, and hold him, not hold him accountable, but yes, kind of, and just put it out there that, you know, I will do my part if you'll do your part. And that's the promise that I clung to, as well as in the prayers that avail much. Prayer number 66 is selling real estate. And I just, you know, buckled down and just kept praying that prayer, as well as rereading this. And in my prayers to God, I kept saying, you said, if you'll see my pain, if you'll stop neglecting me, which he really hasn't, but, you know, in that respect he had, to an extent, but I think it makes all the difference in the world to have that relationship with God that you can say, but you told me to do this. You told me this was going to happen. You told me, you told me. And that's something that I've always held on to in the teachings from Pastor, was that it's okay to say, God, you said, when is it going to happen? And I know it's his timing, and I know he has the whole picture, which I don't argue with. And I just felt like, you know, there was a time frame that I was kind of giving myself that if it hadn't sold by then I was going to do something different. And, of course, he showed up at the end of the deadline, right at the end of the deadline.
And that is, thank you both for sharing, because that is so great. And, Connie, thanks for sharing that scripture, because it just shows, I liked what you said so much about, you know, having a relationship with God where you can just say things like that, you know? I mean, you know, you said you were going to do this, stop neglecting me. And, you know, some people think we can't, they'd be scared to death to approach God that way, because they, you know, they figure God would just smash them into the ground like a thumbtack. And yet, Hannah, she was crying out of the anguish of her heart. And, you know, you're right. You told me you were going to do this. You know, I wonder how many times Abraham had said that. I mean, you know, God did a wonderful thing with Abraham. He changed his name so that every time somebody called it out, it was father, you know, hey, you, father of many nations. So he kept hearing that as a constant reminder of that promise. And apparently, you know, God, you know, Hannah hadn't got to that point yet, or, you know, hadn't had that kind of a revelation from God. And she cried out of the anguish of her heart. And we have to be free enough to do that, you know, to just cry out and say, God, you said you were going to do this. When is it going to happen? When are you going to move in my behalf? And not be afraid to remind God. And, you know, especially when you know, God gives you a personal word, say maybe through pastor or, you know, through somebody else, God gives you a personal word or a scripture comes alive to you. God says, okay, here's your promise. Hold on to it. And then, you know, you can just say, God, this is what you told me, and quote that right back to him. You know, this is the scripture you gave me. Quote it right back to him. And don't be afraid to talk like Hannah to God. I mean, you know, God's big enough. He can take our anger. He can take our frustration. And, you know, God, remember me. You know, did you forget about me or something? And that's okay, you know. I kind of think of that Amy Grant song. I can't remember, of course, having a mental block, but, you know, God loves a lullaby better than a hallelujah sometimes. God loves the soldier's cry, or the drunkard's cry. You know, that is, you know, first time I heard that song, my little self-righteous self just got all harumphy about it. It's like, oh, no, that can't be true. But the more I heard the song,
yeah,
I thought, that is so true. Because sometimes our hallelujahs are just empty. And yet it's those heartfelt cries from our gut to God that he really responds to.
Yeah, it's called Better Than Hallelujah.
Yeah, and it's when we get, I used to pray like, and nothing against the versions, but I used to pray, oh, thou art, tried to be so religious and so pompous and all of this. And then I got down to the real way that I talk, and it's like, hey, Jesus, it's me. And it became so much easier, especially praying for someone like in a sanctuary of worship or even praying for someone at work or whatever, is that I talked to God the way that I talk to you both. And mm-hmm. it's very, very Indiana. Sometimes I don't have the best grammar, but
I wouldn't know a thing about that.
No, I haven't heard me talk recently, have you? But it all boils down to what's in your heart.
Right.
And that's where God looks at. And Connie, when I was down in Florida about a year or so ago, maybe a little bit longer, is that the way that we pray, God hears us either way. Mm-hmm. And whether you pray with the King James Version or the Message Bible, God hears us each and every one all the same. Mm-hmm. And
it's a matter of your heart. You know, it's not so much the language or the syntax or whether your grammar's right or not.
It's
your heart. And, some people are very comfortable. And if it's from the heart, you can do King James, you can do Message, you can do New International, anything in between, as long as it's from the heart, because that's what God looks at. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really care so much about the words. It's the heart that's behind them. That's what God's that's what God's concerned about, is the heart that's behind the words.
Amen.
So,
with the heart, it also includes what it is you're praying for and whether or not it's realistic. I mean, I could pray to win the lottery, but God doesn't want me to have all that money.
Well, then y'all could be praying for me to win, because I know he wants me to have that money.
Because he knows I'm not good with handling that much money.
No, that's true. When it comes to prayer, that's absolutely right. Make sure you're praying, of course, along God's will. And, in Hannah's case, God wants to bless women with children. And she knew that, so she was praying about that. You need to, and where do you find out God's will? You go to the Word. That's where you find out what God's will is. I mean, God's will for healing, it's all through the Word. We can stand on the scripture to pray for somebody or ourselves to be healed. We can stand on the word for us or for others to prosper, because God, God wants us to prosper so we can basically finance the kingdom. God wants us to be in good health. God wants us to be bold. I mean, all those are promises in the scripture, and that's why, Connie, you'd mentioned prayers that avail much earlier. Mm-hmm. We use that because it's just prayers right out of Scripture. So we know we're praying God's will. Yeah. And that's one of the ways we know our prayers are going to be answered, because we're praying God's will. So I want to move. We have another song, Jesus, Only Jesus by Matt Redman.
Our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus. And who can make the blind to see? Who holds the keys that set us free? He paid it all to bring us peace. His name is Jesus, only Jesus.
Wow, Jesus, only Jesus, and that's so true. I mean, that song, I love that song, is just wonderful. We're gonna have to do that in church, Connie. That is a great, great song, and of course, that's such a great song of praise to God, and you know, that's where we started earlier was, you know, just kind of following the Spirit in praise and worship. And that's so, you know, because that's where our, you know, that's where I firmly believe so much of our strength comes from, is our praise and worship, both individually and corporately, when we get together as a body to praise and worship, because that takes you right into God's presence, right into the heavenly holy of holies, where, you know, we just kind of soak in the glory of God, and God ministers to us. We minister back to God, and that, you know, that prepares us for the miracles to happen. And I think, you know, I look at Moses, and of course he met with God, and he would, you know, come out of the tent of meeting, and he'd have to cover up his face because the glory, he glowed from being in God's presence. And that's what worship does. That's what worship does, is we glow because we've been in God's presence. It prepares our hearts. It strengthens us to go out and minister. And look at, you know, the plan of the temple or the tabernacle. There was the 12 loaves of showbread that sat just on this side of the curtain, which was nothing more than just this thin little veil. And, you know, the glory, they just soaked up the glory of God for a week. And then what happened is at the end of that week, Aaron, or the high priest, and his, you know, his sons would go in and just kind of have a meal in front of God. They'd eat the bread. So imagine you're eating this bread that's soaked up God's presence for a week. And that's what worship is. We soak up. You know, we eat the word, we soak up God's presence, and it strengthens us to go out and minister to whoever God puts in our paths. And, you know, we've talked this entire show about God putting more and more people in our paths that, you know, more and more opportunities to minister. And God's calling us, all of us, to be prepared to do that, because he's got a great harvest that he wants to get in before the end of this age. I was reading I use the American Bible Society, one of their daily reading guide, and earlier this week it was Revelation chapter 7. And starting about verse 9, it's, you know, John saying he looked and he saw this multitude that no one could count. I mean, this is a multitude bigger than anyone could count. And they sang a song before the Lord with the angels. And it's, you know, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. And they were praising God. And one of the angels asked John, well, where do these people come from? And John said, well, you know, I don't, you know. And the angel said, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation, who've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. So that's talking about that huge harvest at the end of the age. And God wants us to be ready to help bring in that harvest, because the harvest, you know, if it grows in the field and just sits there, it rots. We have to have harvesters. You know, one of pastor's favorite things is calling forth harvest hands. We have to have the people to go in and reap this harvest. And that requires us to sit before God, to let God minister to us, to everything we said today, giving it all back to God, sitting in his presence, moving when he says move, staying put when he says stay put, and just basically, it all boils down to obedience and worship. And that's what God wants us to do, so we can help bring in this great end times harvest. Comments, ladies?
Connie?
Wow. I was just reading through as you were talking. Crazy. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, people have talked for years, you know, about that big harvest. And here it is in Revelation chapter 7, a multitude no one could count. You know, that's a harvest. And it says specifically that they came out of the great tribulation. So it's going to be people that, you know, right there at the end that are getting saved. And, you know, I had looked up one of my favorite verses, just in case Nan is listening, is Isaiah chapter 60, starting with verse 1. Let me find that real quick here. It's, you know, it's a great verse, and it speaks again to the end times. It's, "Arise, Jerusalem." This is Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. "Let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness is black as night covers the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance." So even as we see, and, you know, I hold on to this, especially for, you know, whenever I think the world's becoming dark and scary and whatever, I can hold on to Isaiah chapter 60. You know, as dark as it gets, the glory of the Lord is rising on us, is rising up in us, and people will see that, and they're going to want to come to the light. You know, they're going to be attracted, like kind of like moths to the flame. People are going to be attracted because they're going to see, what they're going to see is, like, you know, miracles and peace in the midst of horrible storms. You know, they're going to see peace. They're going to see miracles and healings happening. And people are going to be attracted to that. They're going to want to come to that and see what God is really doing.
Well, and I think you and Pastor Marcia have taught on obedience. And tell that the Lord can restore broken lives, and right where you are, wherever you are. And the neat thing about the Lord is that He knows us. Whether you think He does or not, He does. Mm-hmm. And it's just like when you were talking about the harvest, is that, you know, God looks at us as His own. There's a lot of us, and a lot of us listen a little bit better than others. There are some of us that are rebellious. There are some of us that just don't listen as well as we should. And I think that that's where restoration will come once we give the sacrifice of praise to let Him come into our lives and restore us to the way that He wants us to be. And I think that once the harvest starts coming in, is that people are going to be more receptive to change in the body of Christ, because the Lord is going to move like He did with the children of Israel, is that when the cloud moved, they moved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that we're going to be, is that when the Lord moves, we're going to move with it. If you decide not to move with that cloud, you're going to be left out.
Right.
And He doesn't want that at all. He wants the harvest to include all of His children. And that's where it's so important that we get out of our comfort zones, get out of our wayward thinking, get out of the ways of the world, and step back into the lives, into the Holy Spirit, in the way that He wants to move. Because I would rather spend a day with Him in glory than spend time left back here. And it's amazing to me how that people who call themselves Christians don't act like Christians. I mean, if the harvest is to come in, we have got to act, work. We've got to talk the talk and walk the walk, Pastor and Connie. We can't be out just fumbling around thinking, He'll come in 2 days, He'll come in 3 days. I still got time. We don't have any time. We have got to get out. We've got to do the work that the Lord wants us to do.
And we got to be ready to take it on.
Right.
And if we're not prayed up, we're not plugged in, we're not knowing what's going on and what He expects, then we're just going to be useless, really.
Right. Right. And, it popped in my head, the parable about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 kept their lamps, the wicks trimmed, they kept their lamps full of oil. The wise ones did that. The foolish ones just kind of let it go. Their lamps had flickered out. And at midnight, the call came, the bridegroom's coming, go out and meet him. And, the wise ones, they were all ready. They had prepared themselves, and they had, kept their wick trimmed, which, is kind of cutting off that flesh, because if you don't trim the wick, all you get is smoke. You don't get any real light. All you get is smoke. So they had to keep the wick on their oil lamp trimmed. And of course, filled with oil. Well, that's pretty easy. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's a continual thing, continually. And Jesus said they were the wise ones. Well, by the time the foolish ones got back, it was too late. The doors had already been shut. And, Jesus, all through like the last few days of His life, when He talked about, we gave His prophecies about the end, and when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, watch and pray, watch and pray. Watch and pray, because you don't know when I'm coming back. You don't know when I'm coming back. So be watchful, be prepared. And God's doing that. It's like we can't, like the foolish steward, well, he's going to be gone for a long time. I can do what I want for a while at least. But you don't know. He could come back anytime, and He wants us doing His business when He comes back. And that does take that preparation, that being filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the spirit, not walking in the flesh, walking in love. You know, that cannot be stressed enough, to walk in love, because the time for holding grudges, the time for petty differences, that's over.
That's over.
We, you know, those times are long gone. In fact, in one of the devotionals I use, it's a prophecy a day devotional. And the one earlier this week, actually it was yesterday, God always gives me these great ones on Saturdays for some reason, but it talked about being used and being a bridge. You know, that's what God wants us to be, is like a bridge to other people. And we're seeing that right now at Beacon with some, you know, we're getting more and more diverse, and God wants us to be a bridge to people that maybe don't worship exactly the way we do. Maybe they don't dress the way we do. Maybe they're just a little different from us in some way, but God wants us all to be bridge builders, because that's, you know, that's walking in love. That's reaching out. I mean, when you think Jesus did so much of that, you know, he didn't have any qualms at all about touching a leper, even though under Jewish law that would make him unclean. Instead, when he touched that leper, Jesus didn't become unclean. The leper became clean.
Amen.
And, you know, but Jesus reached out to the lepers. He let, you know, he let the woman, you know, the unclean woman cry and minister to him. He went to Matthew's house for dinner. Matthew, a tax collector.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, and the woman caught in the act of adultery. And I have to still ask, where was the other man? Okay? Because under Jewish law, they were both guilty. But just to test Jesus, they just drug the woman up there. But he looked at her and said, you know, your accusers are all gone. Just go and sin no more. And God brings people, is going to bring people into our lives that make us uncomfortable, that kind of push the envelope of our comfort, take us out of our comfort zone. And yet he wants us to minister, to build a bridge, because who knows, you know, each person that comes in that you come in contact with may be an integral part of the church. You know, God may want to place them in the church. They have gifts that God wants to use in the local body. And so I just want to go to our last song of the day, which is Breathe by Amanda Omardian.
I'm desperate for you.
think that song pretty much sums it up for the day. You know, it's true. He is the air we breathe. He's our source. He's our life. You know, Jesus came to be life. And Scripture says in John chapter 1, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And, you know, Jesus gives life where there's death. He became life. He went to the cross and gave his life that we could have redemption, that we could know God, that we could have a relationship with God. And if there's any of our listeners out there thinking, well, you don't know what I've done. You have no idea how bad I am, the things I've done. I just wanted to tell you, it doesn't matter. Because Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God has done everything. He sent Jesus to reconcile you to God, that you could be saved, that you could know God, that you could have an abundant life. And that means life, not just, as pastor says, fire insurance, make sure you're going to go to heaven when you die, but life here in its abundance. Having a relationship with Jesus is so much more than just getting to heaven. It's having God on your side. It's having God living within you. It's having God to heal you. It's having God to minister through you to other people. That's what salvation's all about. It's not just getting to heaven. It's having an incredible life here and now. It's having God within you. So I just want to encourage our listeners, if you don't know God, maybe you've never committed your life to him, or maybe you have at one point and you've kind of turned away, you've gotten kind of distracted by so many other things, I just want to encourage you to know that God loves you. He gave his son for you so that you could have life. Jesus rose from the dead to prove it. And that's the kind of life we can have, a life, a resurrection life with God. And no matter what your need is, God is there to meet that need. God is there to meet that need, whether it's spiritual, emotional, physical, whatever it is. God's there. So I want you just to join in prayer. I just want to pray for our listening audience, for your needs. And Father, I do ask in the name of Jesus that you would move upon our listening audience. Oh, Father, by the power of your Spirit, I pray, Lord God, that you would just make manifest yourself to them. Father, I pray that you would open the hearts of those who've maybe hardened their hearts against you, who've put up walls and barriers because they've been told so often that you don't care about them, that they've maybe crossed a line somewhere. Father, I pray you would just reveal to them that you're not mad at them anymore, that because of what Jesus did, you've taken down every barrier between you and them, and all they have to do is walk to you. Father, I pray right now, if there's anybody in our audience who needs healing, that they would know that you are the Lord, their healer, that when Jesus went to the cross and purchased our salvation, he also purchased our healing, because Isaiah 53 says that by his stripes, we are healed. Father, I just pray that you would bless bless the people who listen to us. Father, that you would prosper them, that they would feel free to give to the kingdom of God for the furthering of the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, I just pray you'd minister your life, your love. Father, I pray that you would set those who do believe in you through Jesus, set them in a local body where they can be ministered to, where they can minister, where they can grow. Father, where they can hear your word preached. And Father, I just loose your Holy Spirit upon our listening audience. In the name of Jesus, Father, sweep over them. Minister to them, whatever the need may be. Lord God, minister your life to them. And we give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh. So, final thoughts, Connie and Betty. Any final thoughts? Betty, I'm just curious. Did that storm go away?
Yes, it did.
Ah, praise God.
Shocking.
Yeah, I mean, it was raging as you were praying. I looked at radar, and it just kind of just dissipated. It doesn't mean that we're not going to get a thunderstorm, but, you know, the severe weather, at least according to radar, is gone.
Oh,
I mean,
praise
for
God.
Our area, we pray for other areas that are at this time, you know, receiving, you know, heavy rain and so forth. But, you know, God honors his the prayers of his people.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And so, one of the scriptures that came to me as you were praying is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And that's the probably our prayer that we need to look to the Lord for is, Lord, restore me. Restore me back to the way that you want me to be. And I submit myself to you to be used by you. You know, send me, Lord, wherever you would have me to go. Use me in what way that you want me to be used. If I am to be an extension of God's hand, so be it. Let me be the person that you want me to be, Lord. Take me out of this situation, Lord, because I need more of you, Lord, because the more that you increase, the more I decrease.
Amen. 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 Connie, how about you? Some final thoughts?
I kind of was thinking that it's almost like we're on this mission possible as secret agents of Christ.
Dun, 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 dun.
Uh-huh.
Just giving you some background music, Con.
You know, Betty, we always talk about saddling up the horses. We got a trail to blaze, but mm-hmm. it's the same thing. You know, most people want to help other people, and so once you have this truth within your heart, you can't help but share it. Mm-hmm. And I think we just mm-hmm. need to bind together as a group of special agents for Jesus and just take on the darkness.
Amen. Couldn't agree with you more.
Amen. Amen. What's the, Connie, and it, of course, it slipped out of my head, but there's a song that's popular now about pushing back the dark.
Pushing back the dark?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Well, I'm sure it'll be playing on the radio as I leave, you know, as I'm going
probably
home. But yeah, that's so true, because it kind of sums up everything we've talked about. We, you know, Paul says you are now light in the Lord. And again, the whole theme has been light and glory and what that means. You know, we are light. We are his light in this world. And we do push back the dark wherever we go. You know, we can push back the darkness of Satan's kingdom because we are light. You know, the kingdom of God is in us, and it is light, it is glory, and we push back that darkness. And, you know, people see that, and people want that. People want that, because, you know, only only the most severely self-deluded really want to live in addiction or in bondage or in poverty or in sickness. You know, only the most, I think, severely self-deluded really want that. People are looking for a way out. And you know, I know Pastor and I went to the same university together, though at different times. And we had street preachers up there. And, you know, every once in a while, you know, I mean, I would stop and listen to them. And it was all, you know, how did I used to put it? Roast them, toast them, burn them in hell. And people got enough of that. I mean, we had in Chicago, there was a street preacher who'd stand there on the corner and just condemn. The neighborhood that I lived in was, where we lived in, was not the best. There were a lot of sex workers of both sexes and a lot of transients. And this guy would just harangue them. And, you know, I said to him, you know, I just want to say, don't you think these people feel they're already in hell? So what you're telling them isn't going to make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I looked and I thought, these people don't need to be told how bad they are and how they're going to go to hell. They need to know that God loves them. They need to hear the other side of that coin. And, you know, because I know even my experience when I was in college, people would just walk past these guys and just ignore them or yell at them because, you know, most people figured, you know, why are you here? Just tell me all the bad stuff. Yeah, if you don't turn to Jesus, indeed. I mean, I'm not denying that. You will. If you don't know Jesus, when you die, you will end up apart, separated from God, eventually in the lake of fire. But the good news is God's taking care of that. All you got to do is turn to him. Jesus provided for it. And I think the simplicity of that just throws people. They figure they got to work for it. I got to do something. I'm not good enough to earn this. You know what? You're not. You know, you're not good enough to earn this. There's no way you can earn it. It's a free gift. God's saying with outstretched arms, I want you back. I want you to come to me.
Amen.
And I think I really, this is a word for somebody who's listening. God wants you to come back. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter because God has taken care of it. It's washed away in the blood of Jesus. All you have to do is accept that. And don't feel like you have to earn it because you can't. You can't. All you have to do is turn to God and say, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you. And I want to come back. I want to come back to you. I'm tired of running away because that's what I've been doing. I'm tired of running, but I'm coming back. I want to come back. And that's all you have to do because God's there. He's calling you. You can feel it in your heart right now. He's calling you to come home like the prodigal son. God's watching for you. He's been watching for you, and he's waiting for you to come home, and he's going to throw a big old feast when you do that because he loves you, and he wants you. He wants you to come back to him.
Amen.
Well, ladies, thank you both, Connie and Betty, for being on today. It's been great. I just appreciate you both so much, and just the ministry that we share together on the radio. And for our listeners, again, you've been listening to Living the Good Life, a ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries from Clearwater, Florida. We appreciate you listening in, and we do pray that you would come to know God. And remember, it's not far. God's calling you. He's right there. So listen to his voice and come home to him. Amen.
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 Jesus, his loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and safely to his side. There's no need for you to fear.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.